When you look at your life, do you see one that is worth living? Do you engage with your day from day to day with excitement for what might be to come? Do you look forward to who you're going to meet? What experiences or challenges that may come your way? Or do you find yourself in a place where you look at life with a little bit of frustration or disappointment, perhaps wondering what if you'd made some wrong decisions? Do you feel stuck where you are? Do you feel a little bit disillusioned with life? Now, don't get me wrong, there will be times when, however good life is, generally from day to day, there will be seasons when we can become a little bit disillusioned, when we can question or when we can perhaps struggle with the situation we're going through. But on the whole, these times in general be kept to a season and won't be an everyday occurrence. You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you know him personally, then life should be, for the most part, never boring. We shouldn't struggle for motivation. We shouldn't be living with any regrets. Why? Because as Jesus tells us in those famous words from John 10, verse 10, in the Amplified version, it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came, says Jesus, that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows." Jesus came that we might have a life worth living. You see, an acceptance of the message of the good news of the gospel gives us hope for this life and for the life to come. It gives us firm and bountiful foundation of truth and purpose from which to live out the rest of our lives. When Jesus came into our lives, it flicked the switch that would start the process of change. We were taken out of the darkness and brought into his glorious light. Jesus came to live in us through the Holy Spirit, to help lead and guide us through and around the pitfalls of life. Jesus, the Son of God, God in human form, the creator of all things, the person to whom all creation must bow the knee, wants to know you, wants to know me, and have an ongoing relationship with each of us, to change us, to become more like him. Every day we should become more like Jesus, not less like Jesus. It's a change that starts deep within us and works its way to the outside for all the world to see. This change is what we call new life in Christ. As the Bible tells us in Corinthians, that the old goes and the new comes. New life is not just what we experience when we say a big yes to God and feel accepted and loved for that particular moment, but it's also the journey that follows, the days to come. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, if you know Jesus this morning, will know that day or round about that day, or the process and the journey you've been on when you accepted Christ. And it's a journey that should continue. So last week we began to talk about this process of new life in Christ as we continued in our Greater Than series. And we looked at some of the framework that the new life in Christ provides for us as believers. We looked at new life with Christ means a new family for you and I, that we belong to Christ and are part of a bigger, wider body family. New life in Christ should give us confidence because we've been saved, so therefore we can boldly come into the presence of God whenever we want. It gives us a challenge to dig deep into God's word, to be grounded, so that when troubles come our way, we won't be shaken. And we need to know what we believe so that we can flourish. And this new life in Christ gives us an understanding of what we've been saved from, so never would we become complacent, thinking that we know it all, thinking that it's for some reason something that we have done. No, it's all because of Christ. You see, when we properly engage with this new life in Christ, it's anything but boring, it's anything but tedious or frustrating. But it's an exciting adventure, and I would say to you this morning, it is very much a life worth living. It's what we're going to be looking at this morning, that phrase, a life worth living, as we dig into the book of Colossians. And we're going to be looking at chapter 3, and we're going to be reading 17 verses this morning. In fact, we're going to be reading the chapter. And I thought at the process as we began, as I was preparing this week, that we would make our way all the way through the book, the chapter 3, until I realised 3/4 of the way through my sermon that I hadn't got past the first 4 verses. There's so much within these verses that talk about new life and talk about a life worth living, that we're going to be looking at together and sharing together. But let's read the whole of the chapter to give ourselves a bit of context, or at least the first 8-17 verses, not the whole chapter. It says these words: "Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've been stripped off of your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves you. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing praises and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue through this book of Colossians, as we continue in our series, Greater Than. I'm not sure this morning how you see your life right now. Some of you have had maybe conversations with. So I don't really know necessarily whether you're happy, content, or frustrated and disappointed. But this morning, as we continue through our series, Greater Than, we're going to discover that the life Jesus has for you really is a life worth living. For some of us, we're living that right now. For others of us, we need to be reminded to do that. All we need to do in order to live a life worth living is learning to know how to properly engage with the God of the universe. As we work through chapter 3 over the next couple of weeks, There are three important concepts that I believe we all need to learn to cultivate in our lives if we're truly going to experience the life worth living. But this morning we're going to look at the first of those. So you're making notes, you want to make a note of this, and it's simply this: a new perspective. Life worth living is about having a new perspective. A new perspective on this thing that we call life. What it's all about. Where we're going to go. What we're going to do. Verse 1 to 4. We'll read them together, these verses again together. Since you've been raised to life, new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. A new perspective. A new perspective for your life, for my life, when we come to Christ. A new life in Christ. It's a life worth living. More than anything, we need to learn for us to get a new perspective on this life and how this relates to the world in which we live and how we respond therefore afterwards to the society around us. This new perspective is a massive undertaking and it takes a total shift in our thinking, perhaps even a reset this morning. Paul challenges us in verse 1 to set your sights on the realities of heaven. That is the new perspective. That is the new mindset. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. To experience a life with Christ in all its fullness, we need to understand what this life is actually all about. Before we came to Christ, life was always about you. Life was always about me. What can I get? What do I need to do in order to be successful and to feel fulfilled? Will this relationship make me happy? I want to get the best house. I want to have the latest gadget. I want to go on that holiday. When I have those things, I'll be happy, content, and fulfilled. That will make my life worth living. But the realities are things always change. There's always someone with a better house. There's always someone with a better car. There's always someone with the latest gadget. You buy a laptop. I bought this laptop a while ago. This laptop is now out of date. It was out of date as soon as I took it out of the shop. There's always something more, and it's always that never-ending journey to try and find that fulfillment, to have that life worth living. It's still the way that the world operates, even though as believers we shouldn't be thinking that way any longer. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to a different way of thinking. A new perspective. Romans 12 verse 2. You'll know these words really well, but they sink together really well with this new life worth living and this sense of a new perspective. Romans 12 verse 2. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And in turn, the way that we think will change the way that we act and change the way that we react. Our first part of call should not be ourselves, but should be Christ. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus, when he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount, said those very words. And everything else will follow after that. Humanly speaking, this is not always easy because we are inherently, in our nature, inherently selfish because our nature is sinful. There is peer pressure and temptation to conform to the world's standards of thinking and acting. Look after yourself, get whatever you want while you can. Don't think about anybody else. And this is a big challenge, but before we go around thinking or feeling defeated, there is an answer, and it's a big answer. Here's the reminder of what God says to you and what God has already done. Paul says in the first part of verse 1, since you have been raised to life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. And verse 2 goes on to say, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Jesus has already set you free from the power of sin and death, because Jesus rose from the dead. The power of heaven has invaded earth, and we've been united with him, and now Jesus sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. That's verse 2. David Guzak says in his commentary on the same subject, he says, our identification with him has become real. We identify, no longer do we identify with the world anymore, we identify with Christ. So what does Paul mean then when he says, think about the things above? First of all, I'd say that he means this. See the bigger picture. See the bigger picture. You may have seen me do this illustration before, but I do not apologize. This is a pretty long lead, actually. Probably about 2 or 3 meters. This lead, just for purposes this morning, represents your life. From beginning to, well, the end's plugged into the speaker, but from beginning to end. See, it's really long, isn't it? Your life, right here, right now. How many, if you live to be 100 years, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Yeah? If we live to be 100 or 70s, 80s, 90s. On this scale, this is your life. Your however many years you have, however many years you will have. This bit here. This bit. And it goes on. It's stuck over there. Won't pull it anymore. That is eternity. What's longer, this bit or eternity? Eternity goes on and on and on. So, if this is how much our life is and how much we put into it, our relationships, our jobs, holidays, friendships, promotions, all of those things we put into that, and we put a lot in, don't we? How much more should we therefore put into eternity? Because how much bigger is and how much longer is eternity? We need to see the bigger picture. We need to understand that this life right here and right now is not the full picture. Often we can feel like it is, because it's all encompassing, whether it's family life, job, marriage, hanging out with friends, health issues, moments of crisis. It feels so important, doesn't it, at times? Crucial, even. And to some extent, it might be, but it's not in the light of the bigger picture. The full picture is this. Our lives here right now is only the shortest of intros, as we said in that illustration, of what is to come. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17 says these words. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for our eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look to not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. With this in mind, we need to be preparing our minds for what is to come, for that bigger picture. Firstly, that getting the right perspective is getting ready for Jesus' return. How many, by show of hands this morning, how many of you believe that Jesus is returning? All of us. Everybody online. We believe that Jesus is returning. That's a good start. John 14, verse 1 to 3 says, Jesus says these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So we believe it. The Bible says it. But do you, this morning, live like it? You believe it, the Bible says it, but do you live like it? Do you live like Jesus could come at any moment? Jesus says that he will return when we least expect it. Matthew 25, 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour of when he will come." And in other places he talks about coming like a thief in the night. Many of us believe that Jesus will return, but struggle at times with the idea that he'll come back while we're alive. Perhaps it's far-fetched to you to think that he might actually come back whilst you're alive. Yet it is a real possibility. If we believe in the truth of the Bible, then we know that we're living in the last days. It's closer now than it was yesterday. So the challenge is for us to live as if it could happen today. We don't want to be caught by surprise, spending time on things that carry no real eternal value. You came to this world with nothing physical. You will leave this life with nothing physical. People at times and in different cultures and perhaps even will get buried with different things. But they will stay in the earth. The only thing that will leave will be our spirits. There is nothing like money, nothing like possessions, food or anything that we can take away with us. We need to make sure that we concentrate on the things that bring eternal value. Secondly, in order for us to be, you know, ready, in order for us to see that full picture, in order for us to have that right perspective, we need to see our situations that we're going through right now in the correct perspective. There is no doubt that in our lives we will encounter troubles, temptations, heartbreak, and pain. And you know what? It hurts. It hurts when we experience these things. It can sometimes make us feel fearful. But having our minds on the thing above will allow us to see them in the light of Christ and his bigger picture. This is just a little spoiler alert for you. We win. That good news? We win. We win. Christ has done it all. We've already won. Christ has overcome sin and death. Christ has overcome everything that we go through. Satan is already defeated, even if he doesn't believe it. We don't need to fear. Yes, life may be tough. You may feel like you're losing or you've lost. Sometimes we don't understand why we're facing what we are. But keep persevering and keep trusting. There's a promise for you. God will make it up to you. You will receive your reward. It might be on this earth and you might see things change. Miraculously change, and for God to do things and to provide miracles, and we know he does that. But you will receive your reward, whether it is here or whether it is in the life to come. James 1 verse 12, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." We need to see our situations in the correct context, have the correct and the new perspective on the things above. Commune with God is the next bit about preparing ourselves and seeing the bigger picture. Spending time with Jesus in our personal time as well as corporate sets our minds on the correct things. It prepares us for the day ahead. It gives us encouragement and directions as we seek to make decisions that are pleasing to Him and that are made in the light of what is to come. The decisions we make here on earth should be in the light of what's happening. Jesus is going to return. Is this decision that I'm making, is this way I'm trying to lead my life going to ultimately bring glory to God and help me to build His kingdom here on earth? Revelation 3 verse 20, talking about communion with God, Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come and we will share a meal together as friends." It's an intimate one-on-one thing, personal thing that He desires for us. A new mindset is about having a good, honest, interactive relationship with the King. Now, as we said, and what the Bible tells us in these words, that we've got to set our things on the things of heaven, not on earth. We've got to do so also with a note of caution. As much as our new perspective is about having our minds set on the things of God, it's important that we don't become so heavenly minded that we switch out from living in this life right now. And what do I mean by that? If we spend so much time thinking about eternity, as great as that will be, we will forget that there are things for us to do and achieve while we're on this earth now. This right life right now is worth living. The life to come in eternity is very much worth living, but they both have an important part to play for us. Jesus has given us family, friends to do life with, possessions to enjoy in the right context, jobs to provide and give us fulfillment. It's just important that we have the correct balance. Not so heavenly minded that we know it's earthly good, not so much in the air and of the things of this world that we don't even contemplate what is to come. You have to have the balance. As scripture tells us, be in the world. We've got to live our lives here, but don't be of the world. So verse 3 from our reading says, "For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." We are to be in the world, being a witness and showing Christ through the way that we live our lives. But no longer are we to be caught in the old way of life with its selfish, sinful nature and often polluted thinking. Galatians 2 verse 20, one of my favourite verses that speaks about new life in Christ. It says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." To accept Christ means to die to the old ways of life and to embark on a new life with Christ. The new life we live is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? What does that lovely sentence mean? Well, it simply means that in Christ you're safe, in Christ you're protected, in Christ you're secure. Everything about your life is in Him. And I'd say to us this morning, where else would any of us want to be than in that place of safety, in that place of security, in that place of protection? I wonder this morning who you would say is your most important person in your life. Is it Jesus? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids? Is it a friend? Is it perhaps a pet? Those who confess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour have Jesus as number one. But Paul uses a really interesting phrase in his letter in verse 4, which seems to suggest something even more than just number one. "And when Christ, who is your life." Does Jesus mean everything to you? Is He the reason you live? If you had nothing else, would Jesus still be enough for you? Paul seems to suggest that Christ should not just be put first in our priority, but he should be our everything. Different than just putting him first, it's actually being our everything, that nothing else truly, really matters. If we're to live a life worth living, Jesus can't just be a theory or an acquaintance that we don't really listen to or only trust when we feel like it. But Christ must be our everything. Central to our lives and having this access all areas pass. Not just giving God the bits that you fancy to give to him because it's easy to give to him, but he wants those bits that you struggle with too. We must engage with him on all levels, in our minds, our attitudes, our words and actions. And we're drawing to a close now. When we do this, when we put him, not just put him first, but he is our everything, there's a great reward for us. Verse 4 continues, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. What amazing promise that is for each and every one of us. Those who believe in Jesus will share in his glory when he is revealed to the world at his return. It will be a celebration of victory where people will stop in awe and wonder. They will bow in reverence and in worship. Jesus will be the center of attention, which he should be, yet he wants to and will share the limelight, the glory, the honor, and the praise with us, his church. I was trying to think about this. I really couldn't think about an illustration that would really depict that. And the closest I got to it was like a carnival. You know, like a carnival when people have those amazing floats for the colour and they come along and people are in the streets and are just watching. When Jesus returns and he brings his church and people will be in awe and wonder and worship, it will be a celebration like a carnival, but it'll be so much more than that. But it's the closest that I can come to kind of get my mind around things. Jesus will be the center of attention, but he will be pointing it to his church as well. Glory, praise will be coming. People will stand in awe and they will know that they've been in the presence of the person who is greater than. Romans 8 verse 19 says, for all creation is eagerly waiting for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And that is what each of us can look forward to for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, who put him as our everything, who have that new correct perspective. So in conclusion, I wonder this morning where you're at when it comes to your mindset and perspective. I want you to think of these questions and to answer them honestly, not before everybody here, but in your heart. Maybe even take them away if you need to. Are you focused on the right things? That's not saying that the things you focus on, like family or friends or jobs or hobbies, aren't nice things. But you can do something nice, but you can overdo that. And it's not necessarily wrong, but it's not necessarily the right thing for you. Are you being heavenly minded, but also earthly good? Are you somewhere in between? Are you too heavenly minded at the moment, or have you got your balance right? Do you perhaps find yourself this morning trying to balance the two perspectives? Are you trying to have a perspective of the earth as well as that of heaven? Because let me tell you this morning, one life, one perspective is about life. The other perspective is about, ultimately, about death. They don't fit together. We need to be looking to life. Jesus needs to be not just our number one in our priority list, but our everything. A life focused on the things of Christ, one that has its mindset on Jesus' return, on communing with God, of seeing the bigger picture, of seeing our situations in the context of Christ's light, is a life worth living for. Whatever point you find yourselves at this morning in your journey, please know this. There is always opportunity to reset your perspective, to refocus on what truly matters. Sometimes things happen in our lives which cause the reset. Sometimes it's a challenge from a person or from a sermon like that. Other times it's perhaps from mistakes that we've made and we realise we need that reset. But what I'd say is today is an opportunity for each of us to check our perspective. Where is our focus? Because a life worth living starts with a perspective that is about the one who is greater than, who is our everything. Amen? Let's pray together, shall we, as we finish.